So here's what we're going to talk about. One, in assessing how we take that information into consideration, here is what we need to overlay on top of that. First, we have the Americans with Disabilities Act. And when you go to the EEOC's guidelines, pandemic guidelines, one of the things they are most concerned about is people making assumptions about people being disabled and needing an accommodation under the ADA and not being provided that, or employers being overly protective about that. So the Americans with Disabilities Act is going to come into play with regard to what accommodations you might need to make with someone who's high risk, not only because of age, but for some other kind of condition. Title VII and the Pregnancy Discrimination Act come into play. I mentioned that earlier when I talked about Title VII with people discriminating against Asian employees and making inappropriate comments. That is a grave concern that the EEOC's mentioned. I'm going to expand a little bit more about the Pregnancy Discrimination Act in a COVID-19 situation. The Family Medical Leave Act may come into play here. You may have a situation where someone has a serious health condition and they may need to go ahead and take just regular FMLA leave, or they may be in a situation where they have a need for FMLA leave because they are experiencing COVID symptoms that are severe enough to constitute a serious health condition. So when Connie is talking about her FMLA section, she has great detail about that. Just keep that in mind as she processes through that about how that might come up. Obviously, we have the FFCRA, the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. I've mentioned the Emergency Family Medical Leave Act. That is an adjunct to the Family and Medical Leave Act. And so the only time the EFMLEA is going to be coming in is for child care. In other words, somebody is taking that because they are unable to work remote or work site because their child care provider is unavailable or their place of their school is closed. National Labor Relations Act comes into play. You may have employees who do not want to come back to return to work. And because they're saying, I'm not coming back to work because I don't think it's safe. And, can they make that concern known? Yes, they can. But there's a way to address that. And then we've also got, state law considerations with the Texas Payday Act that I'll talk about in just a moment. So this is a good place to go. Please go to the EEOC's website and click on the link for COVID-19. The questionnaire, what you should know about COVID-19, they update that frequently. There are several sections to that are good stuff to know. They tell you what to do if you're hiring employees right now during a COVID environment, what you can do. They tell you about the medical information that you are allowed to ask about as an employer. There's a section in there devoted to accommodating older workers and pregnant employees. There's a discussion in there that was added a month or so ago that talks about furloughs. And they have a section in there that they added about return to work. So they continue to update that on a pretty regular basis. But the foundation of it, the underlying document, is the pandemic preparedness guidance that they issued. Many of you recall that they remember when we had the H1N1 pandemic? That's when the EEOC first put together guidelines for pandemic preparedness. So what they've done is they've taken that and as a springboard for their other ones, but they've linked the two together. So when you're talking about, for example, reasonable accommodation situations in a pandemic environment, that second document is interlinked and it's a good place to go for information. Now, let's talk about high-risk age. Employees who are age 65 or older may have very legitimate concerns about returning to work. But here's where a critical distinction must be made. The ADEA, the Age Discrimination and Employment Act, does not include a right to reasonable accommodation. Reasonable accommodation is only going to be made under the ADA. So you may have a situation where somebody who is high risk because of their age may not need an accommodation and may not ask for one, and you don't have to give them one, nor do you have to force them to take one, if that makes sense. So that's a critical distinction to make, because a lot of people are saying, oh, okay, well, I need to accommodate somebody because of their age. No, you would be accommodating them because of a disability. So that's an important distinction. Here's something that I think is very troubling. And the CDC's put some stuff out here on this. You know, we need to think about our high-risk populations in our community. People with chronic health conditions and stuff like that, they die at a much higher rate than everybody else from COVID. The other thing to keep in mind is that the Black population is suffering at mortality rates that are 30% higher than the rest of the population. That's followed by the Hispanic community. So you see some very hard hit populations that continue to be impacted by COVID. And it's just something to be very mindful of in this moment, because that's an overlay, you know, on some of the other very stressful issues that people are dealing with, you know, in this other moment that we talked about earlier. It's just, it's a lot of stuff right now. It's just a lot of stuff.